We're going to look at God's Word together, and it would help you, I think, if you had a Bible open in front of you. The words will come up on the screen as well, but you might want to be able to look at the words on the page yourself or on your device. So please have the Bible with you now. We're going to be thinking a little bit about the story of Elijah, a particular aspect of Elijah's ministry. One of the things that's not always appreciated about being a prophet, or these days being a minister of the gospel, is that it's a glorious and joyful privilege to serve the Lord in that particular way, but it can also be enormously stressful. And we've all been through a really difficult year. It's been a year like no other, certainly no other in my life. And there have been days that have been dark days, and days that have been troublesome and painful, days that have been full of worry, maybe even days that have been a little bit fearful. And it's a question, isn't it? What do we do in the face of the darkness when what is described sometimes as the black dog is hovering around us? What do we do in the face of that? So we thought we would today we would think a little bit about that. What can we do at a spiritual level to contend? The story of Elijah is one of contending for trust in the one true God, in Yahweh. And in chapter 18 of 1 Kings, we don't have time to look at it in detail, but basically Elijah has been battling, has been contending for the faith against the prophets of Baal. Chapter 18 contains one of the most amazing verses in the whole of Scripture. It's a wonderful thing that the prophets did satire. And I've said this before, but Elijah was Scottish. I don't know if you were aware of that, but he was Scottish. The way we know that is because he was a bit cheeky with his humour. So in chapter 18, we read this, verse 27. It says, "At noon, Elijah began to taunt the prophets of Baal. 'Shout louder,' he said." He was in a battle with the prophets of Baal. And then he says this, "Surely he is God. Perhaps he is deep in thought. Perhaps he is deep in thought, or busy, or travelling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened." And some of the translators of the Bible are very careful, because they don't want us to get upset by things that maybe we will struggle with. But the suggestion is that the translation there, what Elijah's basically shouting at them is, maybe your God, Baal, is busy because he's on the toilet. Which is brilliant when you think about it. So he's been contending for the faith. It's been a tough battle, and he overcomes the prophets of Baal, who basically have been taking the people of God away from Yahweh and distracting them, and they've been chasing after other gods, basically. And so he has to contend, and that is something that still happens today. It's rather like what mothers do. Mothers contend for their children. They will defend their children at all costs. They will support their children. They will go to the parents' evening at school and listen to what the educators are saying about their children, and make a case, a strong case for their children, either their children's education or their children's health or whatever. We contend, don't we, if we're parents, and we do that for our children because we love them. And if we love the Lord, then we have to be prepared to contend for the faith. And some of us, we just want everything to be nice and to be kind and to be gentle and everything to be just easygoing. And that's why some people just don't, you know, they're not prepared to do that. They just don't want to contend for the faith in the face of those who oppose faith in the Lord Jesus. So there's a great lesson there about Elijah, but that comes at a cost. If you're willing to do that, it's going to cost you something. It's going to be painful. It's going to be costly. And that's what we're going to read about now from 1 Kings chapter 18. "The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he travelled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Mehola, to succeed you as prophet." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together as we prepare to come to God's word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. We pray that you would speak to our hearts and to our minds through what we read here, from what you speak to us now, for we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Poor Elijah was facing burnout, really. He'd been serving the Lord. He'd contended for the Lord and was facing that thing that we now would call burnout. His resources had just gone, and he was lost. So much so that he says, "Just end it here. I've had enough." I wonder if you've ever felt like that. Maybe you feel like that today. You've had enough of lockdown. You've had enough of not seeing the ones you love. You've had enough of not seeing your friends. You've had enough of not being able to go to the places that you long to go to. You've just had enough. Or maybe you're facing pressure in some way. Maybe you've got pressure at work. Or maybe you've got pressure because you've got no work right now. Or maybe relationships are difficult and troubling and painful. Or maybe you're struggling because you've had so much loss this year, and it's difficult and it's painful, and you just say, I've had enough. Well, what do we do? What do we do in the face of that? One thing to do is to remember straight off bat that Jesus is strong and kind. And sometimes we need to lean in to his strength, because that's all that we've got. In a few weeks' time, we'll celebrate Easter and we'll remember the vulnerability, the weakness, the suffering of Jesus going to the cross in my place, in your place, taking my sins, my frailty, my weakness, my death upon himself. And we remember that on Good Friday, but then we remember the resurrection, the new life, the new beginning that comes from all of that. I don't know if you've noticed behind me, we've managed to grow a whole field of daffodils in the back garden here at the rectory over the winter. It's been amazing. It's a picture. It's not really the back garden in the rectory, although flowers are beginning to come up. We're reminded that this season of new life, we watch the birds nesting and we watch the daffodils beginning to come up on our daily walk. There is new life around us, and these things are signs of that around us. There is a new possibility. But we need to be consciously, at a spiritual level, engaging with the Lord. When things are dark, when the black dog is threatening to overwhelm us, and that's all we can see and all we can experience, what do we do? Do we dwell in ourselves, or do we open ourselves to the possibility that the Lord might come to us? I cannot tell you how many times over the last year I have had to be reminded or remind myself of the need to come to the Lord. On the darkest of days, and there have been some dark days, I have had to be reminded, sometimes be reminded by others, by the ones I love and care for. Sometimes the Holy Spirit has done that for me. So let's just think for a moment this morning about how we might wrestle with the black dog, how we might be helped by the Lord as we look a little bit at the story of Elijah in all of this. So first of all, we have to recognise what's happening with us. What are the early signs of burnout? What are the signs that maybe we're struggling, that the blues are coming upon us, and that we need to be self-aware enough to deal with that? What are the signs of burnout, and how do we beat the blues? Well, here's an early sign of burnout. You start pulling yourself down mentally. That's what Elijah did. We start telling ourselves all sorts of things that aren't necessarily true. Things like, you know, I'm not worth anything. I'm insignificant. What I'm doing right now doesn't really count. Does it have any value, what I'm doing right now, what I'm about? Elijah experienced that. He must have asked himself the question, is this all worth it? Is this worth it? Is it worth going on with this? That seems to be what he was facing. It's one sign for us that maybe we're approaching, the blues are encroaching upon us, and stopping us doing what we're called to do and to be the people we're called to be. When we start pulling ourselves down immediately, that those voices in our heads just become louder and louder and louder. Many of us experience this. Many of us experience this, and we know where that comes from. It comes from the pit of hell. It doesn't come from the Lord. We can easily say it just comes from our thought processes. But it's a devilish thing, I think. There's a power at work in the world that would want to diminish who we are and what God wants to do in us. So be careful about that. When you hear those voices in your head, that's not coming from the Lord, and we need to find resources to resist it. Sometimes we make comparisons, don't we? We start pulling ourselves down mentally, and we start comparing ourselves to other people. Again, people in ministry do this all the time. They compare oneself to another church down the road who's doing better than us and has a better ministry in this area or that area. We all do that. I've been doing this for a wee while now, and I still catch myself doing that, comparing myself to other churches, to other ministers. It's a real issue. And if we continue to do that, if we continue to worry about that, it's not that we shouldn't contend to be to do the best job we possibly can. Of course, we should do that. We should work hard in the Lord's service. But comparing ourselves to other people, that's really damaging. Whether we're in leadership in churches or whether we're just a proper human being, comparing ourselves can be such a destructive and damaging thing for us to do. We need to guard our hearts and our minds against that. So, and the other thing that happens is we start blaming ourselves, taking responsibility for stuff that isn't our responsibility. We take the blame for things that we're not responsible for, but we feel guilt all the time. We feel guilty because we feel we're not working hard. Nobody said anything to us about this. Nobody's told us this, but we feel that we're not doing enough. And again, where does that come from? Where does that come from? Ask ourselves the question, is it true? Is it true that that is going on? So be careful about that, the early signs of burnout. And then another one is this, we start over-exaggerating the problems that we're facing. Our problems take on mammoth proportions. And all we can see is the problem itself. It becomes all-consuming. That's, I think, why we end up losing sleep. We aren't able to get to sleep at night because the problem that we're facing, the issue that there is around us, just becomes everything. And then we find ourselves in a position where we don't sleep, and if we don't sleep the next day, we wake up and the problem's still there, and it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and the problems grow and we get further damaged and we burn out. The blues just take over. It's all that we know. We just live in the blues. And particularly over the last year, I suspect that has been all-consuming. We turn on the news. We have to ration ourselves with the news, don't we? We have to be careful because we turn on the news and it's largely about the situation we find ourselves in. And if we constantly are being fed by that, if that's all we're hearing, that becomes everything to us. Now, it's a huge problem. We should be careful not to diminish the issues that we're facing. Of course, it is real. But if you think about how we do that within our own lives, with the things that we're facing, the difficulties we're facing, we can make things bigger than they actually are. And so we have to find ways of catching ourselves. So what can we learn from Elijah in all of this that might be helpful for us to deal with this stuff that we feel, and some of us will be feeling quite acutely right now? Well, let me suggest a few things this morning. What can we learn from Elijah about recovering from the blues or dealing with the blues? What can we do in the face of this? Well, first of all, don't listen to everything you're tempted to believe when you're exhausted. You see, that's what Elijah was experiencing. Verse 46 of chapter 18, it tells us that the power of the Lord came on him and he was able to run out before the evil king Ahab in order to get to Jezreel. And so he was supernaturally empowered to run, basically. But he was still exhausted. And then he faced death. Jezebel decided that I'm going to threaten you. I'm going to make life difficult for you. Do you ever notice that? Sometimes people will give you an evil word because they know it's going to wind you up. They know it's going to make you feel bad. It's going to occupy people. The words we use with one another, sometimes we use them deliberately to undermine. And sometimes we cover it. It's a bit of a joke. I was just being humorous when I said that, but actually the intent was to be destructive, and that's what Elijah experienced. Jezebel sends a messenger in verse 2. May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them, i.e., you're going to be dead like those prophets, those false prophets that you dealt with. I'm going to make sure that you deal with that. And notice this, she spiritualizes it. Did you see? Notice that she spiritualizes it and says, may the gods, God's behind this. And sometimes people will attack us with words, and they'll try to spiritualize it. we try to make it something that is that God has blessed. The gods have blessed my words to you. Very, very destructive. So Elijah hears these words and of course is thinking, this is terrible. He's not able to deal with it. Verse 3, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. He was afraid and he was exhausted. And he finds himself in the desert. He comes to the broom tree, sits down under it and prays that he might die. Well, Jezebel could have arranged that for him quite neatly if he just stayed where he was. So he didn't really mean it. But he's talking to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm really struggling with this. This is just too much. So, but he's listening to the words of Jezebel and he's tempted to believe what she's saying. And he's losing sight of what God is saying in the midst of this. He's losing sight of how God has used him. And he's relying on his feelings. This is a big thing in our culture and our time right now. Everything is guided by our feelings. Who we are is who I feel I am rather than who I objectively am. We hear that all the time. I was talking to some young people this week online and they were telling me that we determine who we are because we feel who we are rather than any objective standards, rational standards. It's just you can be whoever you feel you want to be. And feelings become paramount. And guide us. And of course, we need to be confident and we need to be self-assured and so on. And the Lord allows us to do that when we're in relationship with him. He builds us up. He doesn't tear us down. He encourages us and helps us. But feelings can be so dominating, so controlling. I wonder what areas that you are led by your feelings. What do you listen to? What areas do you listen to that are all about your feelings? Rather than any objective standard, rather than the facts of the matter. Don't listen. Don't listen to everything you're tempted to believe because it might not be true. It may well not be true. Second thing that we might learn from Elijah is this. We need to take time to care for ourselves physically, spiritually, and emotionally. It's important that we are fed. It's important that we take some measure of exercise whenever we can do that. It's important that we receive emotional support. What the comedian Janie Godley, when she does her pieces online, I know some of you watch Janie, has a way with words, which is kind of interesting. She's Glaswegian and she uses words in a powerful way. But she's got some good things to say as well. And she'll often end her little Facebook times with saying, put on your emotional life jacket. And that seems to me to be a good thing. We need emotional support. We need to make sure that we are receiving emotional support. Now, if you look at this story of Elijah, God comes and offers so much of that. He speaks to Elijah. The word of the Lord comes to Elijah. Angels come. Food is brought to him. So he's fed. Now, the exercise bit, he got a bit of running in order to get to Jezreel. So all of this is happening in the story. And it's a sign, I think, of what we need to be about, what we need to be doing in order to keep our emotional life jacket, our spiritual emotional life jacket on. We need to be look after ourselves physically. I remember that, you know, the darkest time in my life, the darkest, most difficult time that I've ever experienced in my life, I had a small group of friends who just made sure that I was taking some exercise, I was getting out and about, because it would have been easy just to lie in bed and do nothing. They made sure I was eating, they would bring me food, and they would just listen to me again and again and again and again. And that I'd look back on that and I see that was the provision of the Lord. The Lord was giving me what I needed. And I had two people in particular who would sit down with me, read the Bible with me, and pray with me, and help me to hear what the Lord was actually saying rather than what those voices were speaking to me. Spiritual disciplines that were that I needed to be reminded to lie into. God reminded, as he made his way to the mountain of God, to Mount Horeb, God reminded Elijah, lots of reminders of his power. And when we're in the darkness, when the black dog is coming, when the blues are beginning to affect us, one thing we ask for, and one thing that maybe we offer one another, is all of these things, physical, spiritual, emotional encouragement, but reminding one another of God's power, what he has done in Jesus, what he has done for us in the past. I had a talk yesterday with someone online who's thinking about getting ordained and is thinking perhaps about doing that through our church grouping. And it was wonderful to meet this younger man who, and you know, we started by sharing our testimonies of what the Lord had done. And it's just so exciting to hear how God meets with people. And I was so encouraged by it, to hear how God had worked through this man's life, how brought him to faith through Scripture Union and the churches he'd been to and been part of, and how he'd grown and the evangelism he'd done. It was just so exciting. It just encouraged me and helped me and built me up to hear that. So we need to practice spiritual disciplines like that. When we meet, let's not just talk about what's happening in our lives and let's listen to one another. Let's take time to bring one another to the Lord. What spiritual disciplines? Like reading the Bible and praying, what are we making sure that we're taking rest? What are we making sure that we are filling our emotional tank? Are we making sure that we're taking rest, taking a Sabbath, taking a day off from everything that is happening? I try to be very firm about making sure I take time out in order to replenish myself. It's really important to do all of that. And then lastly, it's really important that we get a fresh awareness of God's power and presence in our life. We need to take the time to do that, to be aware of what is the new thing that God wants to do. It's important to look back and to be reminded of God's power and what he's done for us in the past, but it's also important to look forward and to say, Lord, what is it you want to do in me today? You see, some of us, we rely on other people to fill up our tank emotionally and so on. We need that, and that's fine. It's great that we have people that will do that with us. But when it comes to our relationship with God, you cannot rely on somebody else to do that for you. Part of what we do when we preach, those of us who preach at St. Easter, is we're trying to bring the word of God to you in a way that the Lord speaks and encourages and empowers you. And that's vital. That's why what we do Sunday by Sunday is so important. That's why we encourage people not to absent themselves from that. And if you feel that spiritually nothing much is going on for you, then ask yourself the question, well, am I engaging with the Lord? Am I listening to God's word? This bit of the what we do online in worship, by the way, I we are going to continue to stream. Don't worry about that. When we were back in church, we will continue to stream the service, because obviously some people either can't be physically with us because they're the distance, or some people will choose not to come. So we will continue to stream because we believe in the importance of trying to feed people. One of the things we've learned over the year is the importance of gathering on a Sunday, that we've done this week after week, even when it's been difficult. We've gathered and we've continued to focus on God's word because we believe it is vital, and we want people to be freshly aware of God's power and presence in your life. So my prayer this morning is that the Holy Spirit will come upon us and empower us this week for service and excite us again with who he is and what he's done. And there will be a freshness in us. Come, Holy Spirit, and encourage us this week with your power. Fresh awareness. You see, that's what happened to Elijah as he sat on Mount Horeb, as God spoke to him and met with him. At the end of the story, that's exactly what happens. The Lord speaks to him. Go back the way you came. Go back the way you came. That's a dangerous road to take. Go back the way you came, Elijah. And go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, you've got a job to do. Anoint Hazael king over Aram. And you know, Elijah, I'm going to continue this ministry through you and through others, because you get to anoint your successor. Anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel Mahola, to succeed you as prophet. Verse 16 of chapter 19. Elijah still had a role in the economy of God. The game was not up. There was still more for him to do. And there's still more for you to do. Don't rely on somebody else. Don't sit back. Don't just say, oh, I'm not strong enough, or I'm not clever enough, or I don't have the words, or I don't have the energy. There is something that God wants you to do, whether it is praying all the more, whether it's coming out and walking the streets in a few weeks' time when we're going to be inviting people to join us at Easter. That's a little advert for what we're going to be about. Whether it's serving in the church, getting on board with some of the things that we're going to be doing, whether it's looking after people through home groups, whether it's helping to lead worship week by week, whether it's helping to support those who are in need, listening to people. There is something that the Lord is calling you to do and to be about. And you can only do that in your own strength. Sorry, you can't only do that in your own strength. That's the point of this verse. Where it says, where Paul says in Galatians, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So we're called to endure. The danger for us is that we focus on the first part of this verse, don't we? Let us not become weary in doing good. And so we think being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus, is about just about doing good stuff. And we end up doing it at our own power, our own strength. We do it because we're trying to earn our way into heaven, or we do it because we want to be seen to be doing good stuff. But actually, notice what this is about. It's about service. It's about that ultimate day when we meet the Lord. Our friend Bill passed away this week after a long illness. And the thing that we have marvelled at is the number of people who've said, well done, good and faithful servant. And Bill was such a servant of the Lord. I was so thankful for him. He did not give up on that. And his reward is with the Lord in glory. And so we give thanks for that. But that's what we're looking to. We don't do stuff just for the sake of doing it. We do good because it's our calling to do that in the service of the Lord, and because ultimately we're going to be with him. So today, to end what I'm saying today, what we're looking at today, thinking about Elijah. Elijah was renewed and for ministry, for mission, for his calling to contend for the faith. He was renewed for that by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I need. That's what you need today. There's a great passage in Isaiah. It says this: he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So when the tank is empty, when the blues are encroaching, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? Go to the Lord. The Lord will speak to us as we seek him. We'll be found by him, and he will provide us with what we need. When those around you are tired and in need, what are you going to do? Are you going to help them emotionally and physically? Are you going to provide, encourage them to rest? And above all else, are you going to take them to the Lord in prayer and speak the word of the Lord into their lives with loving words of encouragement and welcome and embrace? Because the Lord will use us to do that for one another and for those who are in need as well. We're not just going to do good, we're going to do the greatest good by pointing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our calling, that's our vision. If you want a vision, that's the vision that we're about. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning to us. What an encouragement the story of Elijah is. What a man he is, contending for the faith, but like all of us, getting tired and needy. And it's okay to feel those things, but we need to think through what it is that we can do in the face of that. It's not going to be easy, but we're part of your family, your kingdom. And so we're placed in that relationship with one another to help one another, to encourage one another, to support one another. So help us to do that well. And when I feel the black dog, the blues are falling, are coming towards me, Lord, help me to remember what we've heard about from your word today. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.